we present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
The Man Who Came to Lunch.
Another cup of tea, Susan?
No, thanks, Mother. I'll be going soon.
Well, I'd like a bit more toast, Pat, if there's any going.
I'll make some more while I'm doing Jimmy's breakfast. Where is the sleeping beauty? Isn't he down yet?
I'll bet he isn't even up yet. Never mind down.
Oh, he must have got up ahead of moving about after I called him.
You mean you heard him lying in bed banging his slipper on the floor?
Well, if he doesn't hurry up, I'll be banging my slipper on his behind. He'll be late for school.
I'll give him a shout, Father. Jimmy! Jimmy, it's nearly 8:30. If you don't hurry up, you'll miss the school bus.
Well, so what? I'll go to school on my roller skates.
That'll do. Hurry up.
Right. Just give me 10 seconds while I have a wash.
Oh, that boy. That boy, it gets worse. Well, go on, Susan, now. What's this about your new job at the office?
Well, I haven't got it yet, but I might be made Mr. Mortimer's private secretary.
What? Is that so? Well, I hope it comes off. You've worked hard for it.
Oh, thanks, Grandad. But the other piece of news is there might be a job going at our place for you.
For me? But I'm retired.
No, you see...
Jimmy, if you don't hurry up, you'll be having cold fried egg and some burnt bacon.
Oh, is old Susan cooking it?
Cut out the wires, cracks, and hurry up.
As I was saying, Grandad, the job would suit you. You see, now that the staff are on a 5-day week, they need someone there on Saturday mornings to take phone messages, receive goods, things like that.
Oh, it's just Saturday mornings. Well, that would suit me fine. Will I have to go and see Mr. Mortimer?
Well, Mother had a good idea. Invite him to lunch here tomorrow so we can talk it all over.
Ah, that is a good idea.
Here's your toast, Father, and Jimmy's breakfast. Oh, look at the time. I'll call him again.
This is ridiculous. I'll call him, Pat. Jimmy! Jimmy! It's nearly 9:00.
Is it? Well, switch the wireless on and we'll have housewife's choice.
Jimmy, if you're not down here in 10 seconds, I'll eat your breakfast myself.
Morning, Mum. Don't bother to put my cornflakes out. Just pour the milk in the packet. I'll eat them on the bus.
Mother, do we have to suffer his jokes at breakfast time as well?
Who said that? Oh, Luke. It's a young girl with an old man's face. Who knitted you, woolly head?
Jimmy, I've told you before about using that expression.
Well, everybody says it.
Not in this house, they don't. Now, sit down and eat your breakfast.
Right, Grandad. Oh, Mum, you've done me some sausage as well. I like bangers. Well, we're getting for this school dinner. Well, I like them.
Don't speak while you're eating.
I'm not speaking while I'm eating.
What?
I said I'm not speaking while I'm eating. I'm eating while I'm speaking.
Just behave yourself, will you?
Mother, I hope he isn't going to eat like that at lunch tomorrow. Look at him. If Mr. Mortimer were here now, he'd think he was in a pigsty.
He wouldn't if you'd stop your grunting. Anyway, who's Mr. Mortimer?
He's Susan's boss at the office.
Oh, of course. Isn't he the bloke who sits you on his lap on the cold days to keep his knees warm?
Now, look, Jimmy, I shan't tell you again. If Mr. Mortimer comes here for lunch tomorrow, you'll behave yourself.
Yes, we're not having you spoiling our chances of a better job. Susan's hoping to become Mr. Mortimer's private secretary.
Well, she's sure to get the job. She's dead right for him.
What do you mean?
He's a twit as well.
Mother, I'll hit him in a minute.
Well, it's true. Alfie told me about him. He talks daft, Grandad.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he keeps saying wise when he's talking.
Wise?
I don't mean the bloke with Morecambe. He uses big words and adds wise on the end. He talks about business wise and money wise. Everything's wise, except him. He's stupid.
Luke, Mr. Mortimer's the sales manager, isn't he, Susan?
Yes, and he certainly knows his job as well. The firm's always sending him abroad to visit the branch offices.
Oh, I see. Hey, if you become his secretary, will you have to go with him?
More than likely.
Oh, smashing. Is there a branch in China?
Now, look here, my lad. If Mr. Mortimer comes here, you'll behave yourself. He's talking of giving me a job as well.
But you couldn't sit on his knee, you're too heavy.
It's a part-time job on Saturday morning, minding the place while it's empty.
Well, you'll soon get the sack, Grandad, when they find out what you get up to.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean you, clocking in at 9 in the office and clocking out at 12 in the Rose and Crown. School about a king who nobody liked, and when he had anybody visiting him, he always had the food tasted to make sure it wasn't poisoned.
Well, so what?
Hadn't I better test the cream cakes before Mr. Mortimer comes?
No, thank you. And stop bothering me while I'm preparing the lunch.
Hey, Mama, do you think Mr. Mortimer could give me a job?
Oh, don't be so silly. What could you do in Susan's office?
I could stand in the corner with my tongue stuck out.
Whatever for?
Well, whenever anybody wants a stout wetting to stick on an envelope, they come to Jim.
Look, I'll never get this done with you around. Go somewhere else and leave me alone.
I'll go and talk to me grandad. Where is he?
He's out. He's gone to the off-license to get a drink for Mr. Mortimer.
Hey, you want to watch him if he starts that game. You remember what happened when the new vicar called? It started off, "Have a wee drink, vicar, while I tell you about my days in the Merchant Navy." 2 hours later, "Empty the bottle, vicar, while I sing you a few sea shanties."
Oh, Jimmy, will you please shut up and leave me alone?
Well, I've got it, Pat. 6 ginger ales and half a bottle of scotch.
Yeah, well, pour me some. After half an hour of our Jimmy, I need it.
Oh, there you are, my lad. And I want a word with you.
Is it a rude one?
No. That'll do. I've just noticed the garden gate's hanging on one hinge. Have you been swinging on it again?
Well, you see, the postman wanted to bet me how heavy I was and...
Hey, look, before you go any further, I don't want to hear a pack of lies.
Oh, well, I'll start again.
When you know you've done something wrong, you've got to own up and tell the truth about it. Now, have you been swinging on that gate?
Yes, Grandad.
You're sure you didn't bang into it when you were riding your bike? I've just been looking at it.
Oh, heck.
Oh, what's he done now, Father?
It's only yesterday I had the brakes fixed, and now I see it's got one mudguard all buckled.
Oh, no, Jimmy, how did you come to do that?
When I was riding it, Mum, I was doing the wall of death on the gasometer.
Now, that'll do. I want the truth. What happened?
I, bumped into something this morning.
I want to know more than that. What did you bump into?
The telephone.
You bumped into the telephone?
It's ringing, Father.
I'll go and answer it.
You stay here. See who it is, Father.
All right. But I haven't finished with you yet, my lad.
Right, Jimmy. You take that bike to the shop to have it put right. And make sure to find out how much it'll cost.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure it won't cost very much, Mum.
Oh, well, I'm glad you think so, because you'll pay for it.
Hey, oh, but...
Don't argue with me. You just go to the shop with that bike and keep yourself clean for when Mr. Mortimer comes. Just walk with that bike. Don't you ride it. Understand? Don't ride it.
Is it all right if I go mad and ring the bell?
Get out. Go on.
Come in the lounge, Mr. Mortimer.
Oh, thank you, Miss Clitheroe. Most delighted to be here. I hope I'm not a little tardy in my arrival.
No, not at all. This is my mother.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Mortimer?
I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, madam. Now, were I in my facetious mood, I'd probably ask who is this other charming lady, but of course, it must be your grandfather in his kilt.
It's nice to see you, Mr. Mortimer.
Oh, and you, sir. Yes, I hope we shall be seeing quite a lot of each other, employment-wise, that is.
Oh, aye. Well, won't you sit down?
You're very, very kind, yes. Well, this is most convivial, I must say.
It is. Would you care for a wee drop of scotch?
I will, thank you indeed. Yes, yes. I could do with the modicum of the old John Barleycorn.
Pardon?
He'll have a drink, Father.
Yes, I needed, you know. Had a most annoying experience earlier this morning. Most irritating, blood pressure-wise.
Was it after you left the office, Mr. Mortimer?
Yes. On my way to the bank, I had a difference of opinion with a boy on a bicycle.
A boy on a bicycle?
Did you say a boy on a bicycle?
That's right, yes, a boy on a bicycle, yes. Ran right across me as I was driving my limousine. I braked, you know, managed to stop, but not before contact had been made.
You mean you and the bike collided?
Yes, damaged my bodywork. Most distressing. But what upset me most, you know, was the boy's attitude. Most uncivil.
Well, what did he do?
Well, when I remonstrated with him, he replied, "It's all your daft fault." Who knitted you, woolly head? Oh, yes. Yes. Downright delinquent he was, you know. Not that you can altogether blame the children these days. Lack of parental control, you know. Yes. Discipline-wise.
Well, perhaps the boy didn't really mean it.
Ah, well, that is no excuse, is it? Oh, no, no, no. I mean, he'd obviously been brought up very, very badly. Yes. I feel very strongly about this kind of thing.
So do I, when he shows up, I'll murder him.
Pardon?
Somebody ought to deal with him. I mean...
Yes, quite, yes. Well, now, I have the details of our terms of part-time employment in my overcoat pocket, Mr. Sinclair. I'll just step out and get them, shall I? Shan't be a moment.
Yeah, well, of course, take your time now. There's no hurry.
Mother, that boy he mentioned, it must have been Archie.
Oh, the young ruffian. Wait till he gets home, I'll have his hide off for this.
Well, that's how he damaged his bike. Well, I'll damage him when he comes in.
What's going to happen when Mr. Mortimer sees him?
I'll see that it doesn't happen. I'm not losing the chance of a good job because of that young scamp.
Shh, he's coming back.
Ah, well, now I've got the details here. Perhaps we should discuss them after lunch, eh?
Aye, well, come and have your drink.
Ah, thank you, yes. Well, down the hatch.
cheerio, sir. Mild, isn't it?
Mild? I thought it was whiskey. sorry. I just couldn't resist that, you know. Yes. Most mild. Season-wise?
Oh, aye. Season-wise, it's very mild. Pat?
Pardon? Oh, yes, very mild indeed.
Pat, hadn't you better get cracking lunch-wise?
It's not quite ready yet, Grandad.
What a nice home you have, Miss Clitheroe. So cozy and lived in. Yes, that's the word, yes. As I sit here and look around this room... I say.
What is it, Mr. Mortimer?
I've just noticed that pair of roller skates under the sideboard.
Oh, yes, there is. I mean, father's.
Oh, why? I don't get very often these days, of course. I just keep them handy for doing errands in a hurry.
Now, Mr. Sinclair, are you sure you're not pulling my leg, jocular-wise, yeah? Yes, I'm quite sure I know to whom those skates belong. The boy.
Boy?
Yes, your grandson. I'm sure Miss Clitheroe once told me that she had a brother.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yes, I thought so. Well, I'd like to meet the young man. Isn't he here?
Well, no, he's away at the moment.
Oh, pity, yes. Well, I'd like to have seen him, yes. I'll bet he's nothing like that young scoundrel I met this morning. Hey, Mr. Sinclair?
Well, it takes all sorts, you know.
What a horrible boy. He thought he got away with it, you know, when he cycled off. But I shall know him again when I catch up with him. Yes, I remember his blazer and cap. Small boy he was. Couldn't have been more than about 12. How old is your boy?
14.
11.
17.
Pardon?
Well, he's a sort of, well, around 11, but, you know, looks like 14. He's big for his age. Ah, that's it, big.
Ah, I see, yes.
What was that?
Well, it sounded like a door at the rear of the house. You're not being visited by burglars, I hope.
Oh, no, that'll be our
insurance man. He's always lets himself in with a bang. Well, I'll just go and have a word with him about his bike. About my policy.
Yes, sir. I want to have a word with him as well. Excuse me, Mr. Mortimer.
Yes, not at all. Yes, I'm delighted to see you're all so concerned about your future. Security-wise, that is.
Aye, very true. Give Mr. Mortimer another drink, Park. Whiskey-wise.
Right, Father.
Grandad, he's not going to spoil things for me this time.
Don't worry, my dear. Your brother will cause no more trouble today.
There you are, you little horror.
Hey, what's up with you, Scraggy Neck?
Now, that's enough from you, troublemaker.
Now, look, Grandad, whatever she's told you, it's a lie. Besides, how do you know it was her sixpence?
What sixpence?
That I found on your bedroom. What are you on about?
Mr. Mortimer is here, and he's told us what you did.
Mr. Mortimer?
Oh, he's barefaced.
Well, maybe he's not strong enough to grow a beard.
Don't you try to be funny.
Quiet, Grandad. Jim is supposed to be the insurance man.
A what? Grandad, she's been at your whiskey bottle.
All right. I'll be calm, Susan. Jimmy, now just clear off.
Look, I've come home for me dinner. Me mum said I'd to be back before old Mortimer got here.
How can you stand there being...
Quiet, Susan.
Yeah, don't shout at the insurance man.
Now, wait a minute. You've never met Mr. Mortimer, have you, Jimmy?
No.
Of course. You didn't realize that it was his car you bumped into this morning, that he was the man you cheeked, the one you shouted to, "Who knitted you, funny head?"
You mean, who knitted you, woolly head?
Well, there you are, Grandad.
Wait a minute, how could he tell you? Old Mortimer doesn't know me.
No, but he described you and what you said. I mean, you about your bike being damaged.
Oh, I see.
Well, he's not going to know you. Just clear off and don't come back till after he leaves at 2:00.
But I want me dinner.
And we want our jobs. So you can get your dinner somewhere else. Go down the road to the cafe.
Well, wait, I've only got the sixpence. I got a false... I'm broke.
Oh, here, I'll give you the money. Lunch in there is 3 shillings.
No, Grandad. It's not fair that you should pay for what I did. I'll go in and see Mr. Mortimer.
You will not, you hooligan.
Quiet. If you yell at the insurance man again, you'll be claiming for an accident. I'll clout your lug.
You're the one who'll be clouted. Now go on.
But, Grandad, you always say I should tell the truth. I'll go and face the music.
You won't.
Well, I want a proper dinner. 3 bob's no good. I'm a big eater. No, I'll go and confess to Mr. Mortimer who I am.
Look, here's 5 shillings. Now, will you go?
Could you make it 7 and 6?
7 and 6 for a lunch?
Well, I'm a big tipper as well.
That does it. You're going across my knee.
No, help, don't!
Quiet. Mr. Mortimer will hear you.
Yes, Grandad. You know how I yell if I get smacked, and old Mortimer won't believe you were spanking the insurance man. Not even if you said he'd pinched off Susan's policy.
All right, clever boy.
But Mr. Mortimer won't be here after 2:00. So you can yell as much as you like then.
That's why I'd better talk to him now. Honesty's the best insurance policy. What would the vicar say if I said you didn't want me to tell the truth?
All right, you delinquent. There's another 1/2 crown. Go and have your blinking banquet.
Oh, thank you, sister dear. I will.
Yes, enjoy your dinner, because you'll be having your supper standing up.
Now, look, Grandad. I'm going out. I'm doing what you want so you can get your job.
Aye, for 7 and 6 you are. You just wait.
Grandad, I can't sit in a cafe and eat me dinner if I know I'm going to be spanked when I come home. You can have your money back and I'll go and make a clean breast of everything to Mr. Mortimer. Here.
Grandad, you'll have to let him off, the little blackmailer.
That's nice when I'm giving up my mum's chops to help you.
All right, you win, Jimmy.
But don't you put a foot wrong for the rest of this week. That's all.
Good old Grandad. Well, I'd better be going. I don't want to find everything off at the cafe.
Oh, get lost.
Now, sister dear. Don't talk to your friend, the insurance man, like that. I'll call back next week, so have the 7 and 6 ready again.
Get off.
Well, Jim, lad, who says crime doesn't pay? I wonder if I could get me mum to invite old Mortimer to lunch every Saturday.
Hello, Jim.
Oh, hello, Alfie. If you've come for Scragonette, she's feeding her face.
Hey, now, look, don't you start calling Susan behind me back. I mean, me face. Get her back.
I'm not calling her back. That's the best part of her.
Oh, look, go away. I'm going in the house.
You can't. They're having the dinner, and they have a guest, Mealy Mouth Mortimer.
What? You mean Susan's boss?
That's right, her boss, work-wise. He's in there eating, dinner-wise. Just hope he doesn't look at our Susan, face-wise. It might make him ill. Sickwise.
You what? I don't get you.
That's because you're here body-wise, but you're still at home brain-wise.
Look, I don't know what you're saying, but if you say it again, I'll thump you. Did you say Mr. Mortimer's having his dinner in there?
Yeah, and just because he's there, I've been kicked out without my dinner.
Well, they must have a good reason.
Yeah, he's having my chops. So I've got to go down to the cafe. Hey, why don't you come with me? You can't see Susan until after two, when Mr. Mortimer goes.
Well, I've had my dinner.
Well, come and watch me eat. I'll teach you the proper etiquette. You never know. You might be invited to Buckingham Palace to clean the drains.
You're very funny. I don't need to watch you eat. I've been to the monkey house.
Of course. How are all your relations?
Don't try to be clever.
Look, if you know how to eat properly, tell me this. Which fork do you use first?
The one on the outside.
Which knife do you eat your peas with?
The one on the inside. Oh, shut up. Yeah, I don't know why I bother with you.
Because I fascinate you. Now, come on, Alfie. You have a cup of tea while I have my dinner. Come on, be a sport. I don't like going into cafes on my own.
Oh, all right. I'll come, but I better regret it before we leave. Yeah, I know I will. Yeah, I thought you were going to the place on the corner, the cosy cafe.
I was, but I thought this would be a change, a Chinese cafe.
Well, do you like Chinese food?
I don't know. I've never had any. Mind, it must be all right. One lad in my class never has anything else.
Oh, yeah, who's he?
They call him Chung Ling.
Oh, shut up. Look, call one of the waiters over and order your food.
Just a minute. All the writing on this is foreign.
Well, of course it is. It's Chinese. It's a Chinese restaurant. If it was a French restaurant, the menu would be in French. A Greek restaurant in Greek.
An Italian restaurant?
In Italian.
Oh, and a Spanish restaurant in Spanish.
Of course.
And a vegetarian restaurant in vegetarian.
Exactly. Oh, Belto. Look, you can see what everything is. I'll tell you. Now, what do you want to know?
Which one of these means egg and chips?
Oh, egg and chips isn't a Chinese dish.
Why don't they have ends in China?
Look, here's a waiter. Pick one of the Chinese meals and tell him.
Right. Ha. Garçon. I want lip, chicken, salmon, egg, bouillon, licking, and chips.
All right, cut out the comedy. What do you want, mate?
Yeah, hey, don't you talk funny for a Chinaman.
Oh, there's two of you, aren't there? You asking for a fic here?
No, he just wants a cup of tea.
Well, what do you want?
I want plain chicken, salmon, egg, bouillon, litchi, and chips.
Look, I don't speak Chinese.
Well, don't waste our time. Go and find somebody who does.
You what?
Yeah, technically notice, mister. He doesn't know how to order properly.
Well, my little boy, you just calls out the numbers. 17, 23, 42, 37, 50...
Bingo!
Look, one more crack from
you. Yeah, he'll have 7 and 24.
Right. And if he starts any more nonsense, he can have a mouthful of knuckles.
Alfie, I think you've upset him.
Look, just keep quiet and eat your food when it comes.
Wait a minute. What did he ask for? 7 and 24? Fried chicken with noodles? I didn't know chickens had noodles. And what's this? Bamboo shoots and water chestnuts? Hey, what do you think I am, a duck? I want egg and chips.
They don't have egg and chips.
What about all these chickens they've got? Don't tell me all they lay is noodles.
Look, you wanted Chinese food, so you're getting it. And don't annoy the waiter again, or you'll be on the menu.
You ordered it.
And you'll eat it.
And you'll pay for it.
I will not.
Well, here comes the waiter. You tell him to take it back.
Here you are. 7 and 24 as you ordered, all right?
Well, my friend who ordered this has something to ask you. Haven't you, Alfie?
You haven't changed your mind, have you? You're not trying to make me look an idiot, are you?
Well, you know, no, I wouldn't.
Now that you've brought all this, he wants you to take...
Just bring me the bill.
All right, if you're in a hurry. But you want a cup of tea?
No, I want my head seeing too. Yeah, I mean, yes, I'll have a cup of tea, please.
Make your mind up. Cool, what a game. I should never have left the Duke of Bedford.
The Duke of Bedford?
Yes, the best pub in London.
Hey, it's smashing this, Alfie.
You what?
It's smashing. It's smashing. Have you got plenty of money, Alfie?
What for?
After I finish these two numbers, tell the waiter to perm any other 3 from 8. And you stand by to carry me home in a rickshaw.
Here's your coat, Mr. Mortimer.
Ah, oh, thank you, Mr. Sinclair. Most kind of you. And thank you, Mrs. Clitheroe, for a most enjoyable lunch.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Mr. Mortimer. Open the front door, Susan.
All right, Mother.
Rather different from our canteen meals, eh, Miss Clitheroe?
Oh, yes, Mr. Mortimer. Mother's a wonderful cook.
Indeed you are, Mrs. Clitheroe.
A veritable Fanny Craddock. The lady on television, you know.
Yes, I know.
Yes, yes.
Well, I must be away. Cheerio, everyone.
Goodbye, Mr. Mortimer. Oh, and thank you.
Bye, Mr. Mortimer.
I hope you'll come and see us again.
At the first possible opportunity, I assure you, my dear. Oh, beg your pardon.
Sorry, sir. Did I bump you?
Oh, no, it's Jimmy.
The little cheat.
Well, 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 now, and who are you?
Father, say it's the paper boy.
Jimmy Clitheroe, Susan's brother, sir.
Too late. Back to my pension.
Well, you seem a very nice young lad.
Oh, thank you, sir. You don't seem so bad yourself.
Very amusing. Polite, too. Polite, yes. Not like some of the young hooligans one meets nowadays. Yes, well, it's a pity you weren't here for lunch.
Oh, I had to eat out. Caffee-wise.
Yes, well, it's very nice to have met you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I don't get it. Oh, goodbye.
Well, did you all enjoy yourself with old Mortimer, dinner-wise?
I don't understand. Susan, does Mr. Mortimer usually wear glasses?
No.
Then how come he didn't recognise Jimmy?
That's easy. He's never seen me before in his life.
But your bike.
Oh, yes, I never did finish telling you how I damaged it. It wasn't me who crashed into Mortimer's car. I was pushing my bike into the shed when the door banged. Oh, by the way, ma'am, it cost 2 bob to be mended, so that's 5 and a tan of profit.
You little monkey, you got that money by a trick. Hand it back.
What? I got that for the lies you told about me. What the judge would call damages for inflammation of character.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair's grandfather, Patricia Burke's mother, Danny Ross's Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, with Derek Giler and Jack Watson. The recorded program was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
Thinking I was a bit mean to get 7 and 6 and let Alfie pay for my dinner. Well, you'll be pleased to know I'm going to pay for Alfie's dinner today. Mind, I wish you'd hurry up. It's a bit cold standing at this street corner waiting for the hot dog tricycle. Ta-ra! Thank you.